ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. With the Iowa caucuses just a few days away, it's crunch time for Republican presidential hopefuls, even with the nasty weather the state's expecting on Monday. Chad Hahn is with the National Weather Service in Des Moines.
The coldest date of the caucus in history was 16 degrees for a high temperature, and this will definitely be the coldest day concurrent of the Iowa caucus that we've seen dating back to 1972.
The New Hampshire primary is January 23rd. A new CNN poll out this morning showing Nikki Haley now just 7 points behind former President Donald Trump, who holds a commanding lead in Iowa. Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin, we now know, diagnosed with prostate cancer, his hospitalization linked to complications from surgery because of it. Boeing CEO Dave Calhoun telling employees that the Alaska Airlines door plug emergency was a mistake and that they will continue working with the NTSB on the investigation into it. This is ABC News. American warships turning back what's being described as a complex attack in the Red Sea.
U.S. Navy destroyers and planes, along with a British warship, stopping 18 one-way drones and 3 missiles in the Red Sea, all reportedly launched by Yemen's Houthi rebels. USS Eisenhower, 3 Navy destroyers and the UK's HMS Diamond blocked those attacks. This is the 26th Houthi attack on Red Sea shipping since the end of November.
That's ABC's Andy Field. The rebel attacks have forced several shipping companies to avoid the Red Sea, forcing up shipping costs. Some U.S. airlines canceling flights to Ecuador amid rising violence. Masked men invaded a TV studio during a live broadcast, police rescuing the hostages and making 13 arrests. And coming soon to the big screen, the next Star Wars movie officially announced, The Mandalorian and Grogu. Disney, parent company of ABC News, says production gets started this year. Sherry Preston, ABC News.
America is kept safe because the Army National Guard responds, protects, and supports our nation when it needs them most. The Army National Guard responds to disasters such as wildfires and floods. They protect us with missile defense, cybersecurity, and civilian support teams for chemical, biological, and radiological hazards. Be there for your community and your country. Visit NationalGuard.com to learn more about part-time service. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
If I could be you.
And you could be me. For just 1 hour.
If you could find a way.
To get inside.
Each other's mind.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out. And for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wegehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Wet, heavy snow fell in much of southern and eastern Wisconsin until late on Tuesday. Civic Media meteorologist Brittany Merlot tells Jane Mattenier that 40-mile-per-hour winds will keep driving hazardous until the snow ends.
When you get underneath one of those snow bands, you'll see some snow accumulating a lot quicker out there, making it harder for the plows to keep up with. But they've been doing an awesome job so far. Mm-hmm. I've been checking cameras across the state. Hats off to you guys.
Wet, heavy snow is causing some power outages. Governor Evers says he's having a hard time finding a new Department of Natural Resources secretary. The Republican-controlled state Senate fired 8 of his appointees to different boards and commissions last fall. Evers says some candidates he's considered tell him they don't want to put their families in that situation. I'm Nate Wegehout, Civic Media News.
It's the Badgers and the Buckeyes. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Men's college basketball. It's now number 15th ranked Wisconsin against Ohio State tonight. The game in Columbus at the Schottenstein Center. Number 11th ranked Marquette at home taking on Butler. NFL, Packers and the Cowboys Sunday. Dallas, 7.5-point favorites to win. Matt LaFleur still has confidence in his defense.
When we have all 11 doing their job and playing as one, there's been some pretty good performances. It's just whether whether it's communication or somebody has a misassignment, that's when bad things happen.
Now, the first time Mike McCarthy faced the Packers, the Cowboys blew a 28-14 lead. As Aaron Rodgers led the Pack on a 31-28 win in overtime, McCarthy had this to say.
Well, I mean, we were totally in control of that game, as, you know, as far as our viewpoint, and I felt when we got the ball that we were going to go down a score and then see what happens. So I'm very disappointed for the players because I thought they definitely did enough today to win.
That's Cowboys head coach Mike McCarthy with Sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
We have a winter storm warning that remains in effect today through tonight. We're expecting around 5 to 8 inches of snow, but making things worse, the wind. It'll pick up later today into tonight with gusts from 35 to 45, creating blowing snow, making travel difficult, if not impossible. Conditions will gradually improve tomorrow morning. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 31.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed. Keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network. Your home for the Devil's Advocates. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6. Oshkosh Airport, 1100 AM and 98.3 FM WISS.
Coming to Northeast Wisconsin, live from the Civic Media Studios at the City Deck Landing in Green Bay, and featuring TV and radio broadcast veteran John Mino, along with the City of Green Bay's longest-serving mayor, Jim Schmidt. This is Mino and the Mayor.
Begin the day with a friendly voice, a companion unobtrusive.
And here are your hosts, John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Good morning. Well, Mr. Mayor.
Mr. Mino, that was not that bad of a storm. I mean, of course, you live in the building.
Are you blaming me?
No. I'm just saying but I was out quite a bit yesterday. Did some grocery shopping.
Well, I will say this.
It was nothing.
4 o'clock, 5 o'clock.
Well, 5 o'clock. After the day was over. After schools were closed.
It was like 45-mile-an-hour winds.
Right.
And I was here on the fifth floor just overlooking everything. Mm-hmm. And wow, everything was coming from the bay sideways. But it wasn't snowing that hard. It was just blowing really, really hard.
Yeah. I don't know. I hope we don't overreact. You know what I mean? It wasn't that bad. And everything was closed. I had 3 appointments canceled yesterday. And
okay, wait. This coming from a guy that overreacts on everything.
No, I don't.
Yeah, you do. Todd.
I don't. No,
Todd, help me out here.
Todd, you yelled at me yesterday. I have to be nicer.
I didn't yell at you.
Yeah, you did.
No,
I have to be nicer to people I don't know.
He didn't yell.
We didn't yell.
He didn't yell. No. But let me just say this.
But, John, I just want to say I think we overreacted on that storm. Okay, go ahead. Sorry.
I think the roads were not great, especially in the evening hours.
Was there a bad accident on 41?
It was closed for quite some time.
Okay.
I will say this. When I left yesterday, I got to the corner of Walnut and Ashland. Two cars slid right through the intersection, and then there I went sliding through the intersection.
Really?
So, yeah.
Well, I will say this. I heard, this was yesterday afternoon, I haven't lived down here that long, I mean, 4 months, 3 months, whatever. Right. Mm-hmm. I've never heard so many sirens at once speeding off someplace. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was incredible. It was like for 10 minutes, that's all you heard were sirens going someplace. So maybe that was for the whatever happened on 41. But something happened. But the thing you got to be careful with now, though, is we don't have much snow. But it's supposed to be like 6 below wind chill next week, and you get everything froze, and then when that stuff stays, that's where it gets bad.
It's going to feel like 6 below if we don't win on Sunday.
Oh, yeah, I know.
Because if we win, John,
then winter begins.
Yeah, I know. But if we win, it's going to be like, hey, we'll get through this.
We got
San Francisco coming
up. Not even a question.
Right. So
I'm
very hopeful because I did look at the weather forecast for next week, and it could be really cold if we don't have a good game on Sunday.
I know. Then winter begins.
I know.
I'm with you.
You know, you and I are both friends and acquaintances, more than acquaintances, friends with Coach McCarthy.
Yeah,
right?
I mean, no question.
You and him are friends, and he's supportive of me when I was mayor and went to events. Actually,
I invited him to Dom's graduation party.
Nice.
I told him beforehand. I said, "Hey," because we both live in Ledgeview too,
right,
so it's not okay. And he goes, "Oh, absolutely." And he didn't show. Okay. And it's like, hey, and I talked to his wife, who was great friends.
Oh, yeah,
great
she's
friends.
Awesome.
She's awesome. Jess,
yeah.
She used to do so much for the veterans. Mm-hmm. You can't even believe it. Mm-hmm. You can't believe how good she was to the veterans that we'd have in the box at the Packer game. She'd meet every single one of them and just whatever. But anyway, it's like, we never got it. She said, we would have come in a heartbeat.
Oh.
And it's like, I sent it to the Packers.
Well, that.
And I wonder if some secretary saw it and just didn't even pay attention. Just, oh, he's not going
to. Do you realize how many invites he gets?
I know.
To weddings and graduations. And my kid's a big fan of yours. Could you come to stop by his graduation?
I know.
So, yeah, you probably should have sent it to his house.
But that would have been kind of fun.
Or you know dropped it off at his house.
I should have. I know that now.
Yeah.
I realize.
But, it's almost over.
Yeah.
I'm day
17.
Yeah,
I will say this, like Sunday night, and this I just told this to Jim Todd. When I was on my knees Sunday night,
you were sick Sunday though.
Okay, at like 3 a.m.
Oh,
I literally thought to myself, "Am I dying?" And I'm not joking. No. It's like, is this it? Because I was coughing so hard I like couldn't breathe for a while, and I almost hate to say that I'm bringing it good. See, it's gone now, so I didn't. Okay, but I was sick. I had the flu. And I still was so stuffed, it was unbelievable. It's like, is this how it goes?
Did you bargain? Because when you die, a lot of times it's like, God, if you get me through this, I'll be like the quarterback of the Jaguars. You know, that guy said his goal on earth is to preach to the good word.
No, because I did that so many times for so many ball games in my life. And who was it? One of my veterans that I interviewed just recently, he said he was in Vietnam. And I forget exactly what it was. I'll try to think of it. And he actually started chuckling to himself, just like, God has to be saying, really?
Sure.
Really?
Sure.
I know you. I know you. Okay? I brought you into this world. I know you. You're not going to do it. You know what I mean? So
yeah.
It's like, no, so I give up on those things. By the way, got this. Can only see half of John on Facebook. Wanted to see his beautiful face.
Mm.
Jackie.
Wow. Hey,
Jackie.
Who's that?
Thank you, Jackie. I don't know, but. Thank you, Jack. You just made my day.
Yeah.
Got a text here. It was a semi on 41 full of cattle headed to JBS. 4 cattle were killed. Driver and his dog were injured, too.
Oh, no.
Wow.
How's the dog?
How's the driver?
Oh, yeah. That's right. Driver.
Okay. Wow.
I thought about the dog, too, right away, Jim.
See?
I'm sorry.
Okay. All right, John. It's not just me. Well, I'm concerned about the driver, but... Yeah, those dogs, they get very panicky, and I'm sure he was looking out for his driver, for the owner. Those dogs are so protective. Yeah, I hope they're fine. We have to get a report on that.
When you were talking about being in the bathroom and, like, is this it?
Yeah.
You know, think about this. Elvis died on the toilet, right?
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. I mean, what a way to go.
I thought to myself, no matter what, that ain't going to happen. No matter. Hey, did you hear about Mino? They found him.
Yeah.
Longtime broadcaster, yeah. John Mino,
right.
Found
yes.
face down in his bathroom.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Or worse, face up, sitting back.
Choking on his. Yeah.
Exactly.
That does happen, but I was just wondering if you went through that, if you got like a little panicky and you started to bargain. And
no,
say, hey,
no, I gave up
on
that.
You're just like, look, I got to get through this.
I'm at the point of whatever.
Yeah.
Here we go.
Right. Anyway, back to McCarthy.
I bargain once I get there.
Oh, no.
Where they're like, well, John, wait a minute. Let me tell you what happened there. What happened.
Yeah, okay.
I'd be that guy.
I think the decision is almost, it's probably 90% made on you. Like, you probably 10% to correct
swing
things.
Vote.
Swing vote. But I think St. Peter, this is my hope.
Yeah.
You know, I hope they judge you by your kids, because then I'm in. But I don't know how they do that.
Yeah.
But
I think there's a special place for politicians, don't you?
Oh, boy. Oh, yeah.
You think it's a little hot down there?
Todd?
I don't know that it's hot, but, you know, they
hold
talk about
it. I think they'll hold you to the flames.
It's kind of like going through the security at a airport. They pull you aside.
They pull you aside. Absolutely. Your special lane.
Yeah. I get that all the time.
Wait, because you have a hip, right?
No, because of whatever happened in Afghanistan. I was at O'Hare. No, I was at, not LaGuardia. What's the other one?
JFK.
JFK. No, Newark.
Oh, Newark.
Newark. Okay. I was at Newark Airport going to Europe, and I get paged over the loudspeakers in New York. I'm thinking, oh, my God, what happened? And they pulled me into a room and asked me what happened in Afghanistan.
Really?
Yeah. And then when I was in Germany coming back, I had a guy tap me on the shoulder, and I turned, and it literally looked, I'll tell you what, you could say whatever you want about different nationalities or whatever, scariest cops I've ever seen in my life are in Germany.
Yeah,
they still look like stormtroopers.
Yeah.
They still wear all black. They're all about 6'3". They're all skinheaded. That is a rough-looking crew in Germany. And what's the old thing? They used to have those T-shirts. Heaven is where the French do the cooking. Or the French do something. The Italians maybe do the music. And I don't know, the Germans. And hell is where the Italians. Oh, and the Germans organize everything. That's heaven. And hell is where the Italians organize everything. And the Germans do the cooking. And the French do the police work or something like that. But it's like the most bad-assed looking cops I've ever seen are in Germany.
Yeah.
Guy taps me on the shoulder, takes me into the room with two stormtroopers, go through everything ahead, and ask me about Afghanistan.
Yeah.
Because there's something on my, and that's why I threw away my passport and got a new one, hoping that'll get away with it. But because they said, when I was in Afghanistan, they said I was in the country illegally.
Yeah.
So I didn't get it stamped.
Yeah.
And they took me into that room and had those Afghans.
Wow.
Stuff. Oh, yeah.
That's got to be scary.
Oh, scary. Let me tell you something.
Let me tell you something.
As scared as you could possibly imagine. But anyway, so I don't know what they stamped on my passport. It was all in Afghani. So I don't know what it said. So when I would travel still twice, so in New York City or Newark and in Frankfurt, Germany, I got pulled out at the airport and interrogated.
Wow.
It says this guy's a jerk. Just pull him aside and give him hell. Something like that, right?
Comrade, let's just scan the passengers. Which one do you think? This guy.
I told you in Israel, they just split you up. They want your story straight.
Oh, and you and your wife or whomever?
Who you're traveling with, they try to trip you up on that.
Wow.
Those guys are all about intelligence.
Yeah, I believe it.
I mean, they have screening there, too, but it's like, where were you? Why were you there? And it's like, and sometimes you think, you don't really remember everything. What time did you go? You're like, wow, was that in the afternoon?
Well, you know
what?
You get
so
mess
up, you get nervous.
I went when I was in Amsterdam. That happened to me.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And my plane had been delayed, and I missed my next flight.
Yeah.
And the guy pulls me in. He asked me that. When did you leave? I go.
Was it yesterday?
I don't know.
Yeah. That's
because
a great
the time
answer.
Changes. I'm serious. I'm like, I don't know.
I know.
Have you ever been to Amsterdam though? Have
yes.
You? Okay. Mm-hmm. So I lost my or not lost my flight. I missed my flight because of whatever. Probably because of pulled Afghanistan thing. Or Dubai. But anyway, they were so nice. I mean, these stewardesses are flying because we are so sorry. Would you accept a first class ticket to New York? And we're going to give you like $200 in Cougarats or something or whatever it is.
Wow.
And this is for the bar if you'd like some beer. And we have these special beers. Even they were like, it was like unbelievable. Wow. It's like, I'd like to just stay here and miss
right.
a flight
I'll
a
miss,
day.
I'll miss the next couple.
Yes.
Wow, that's cool.
Yes, it was unbelievable.
It's amazing how nice people can be, right?
Yes.
I mean, it really is.
KLM Airlines was the nicest airlines I've ever flown in my life.
Yeah.
Hands down. Nobody nicer. We got text here. Big Wayne says good morning,
folks. Oh, no. I miss him.
How are the bees doing?
Right.
We're trying to get him in the next couple of weeks here.
Please do. Because I've been using his honey now.
Yes, me too.
I put it in my oatmeal. I got to show you guys a picture. You guys can be so proud of me. What's the most proud
scale?
Of you?
Is, is there a scale in that picture?
No, it's a picture.
Okay. Did you do the honey and onions? Remember that weird guy?
I have not.
Okay.
This is what I ate yesterday for lunch.
Wow. I'm looking at a picture. Is that strawberries? Apples.
It's oatmeal, apple pieces, nuts, and honey. And bananas. And Wayne's honey.
No alcohol?
No alcohol. No alcohol January.
Dry January?
Okay, today's the 17th. Easy to start today.
17th?
Oh, today's the 9th.
10th.
10th.
Jim, where are you?
Sorry. Hey,
wow.
He ran the city.
That's what's scary.
He ran the city, and he wants us to get a helicopter and drop ping pong balls.
Today.
This guy.
I'm
this
seeing
guy
the mayor.
Right here.
I'm seeing the mayor.
This guy right here.
All right.
Unbelievable. Hey, we've got a fun show. Wait until 6:34. We've got Bernie Anderson coming on, former coach with Matt LaFleur at Northern Michigan. He's going to be fun. We got Dr. Kristen coming. We got John Seindergaard. We got a full show today, folks, and a lot of other stuff back after this.
Oshkosh Air Support, WISS. Her name is Pam Yonke, but you can just call the host of the Midwest Farm Report, the Fabulous Farm Babe.
That's right, and the Fabulous Farm Babe is now part of the Civic Media team on your local station. Oshkosh Air Support, WISS 1100 AM, 98.3 FM in Oshkosh. Here's show host Todd Albaugh with the announcement.
She is a broadcast legend. Doesn't matter whether you're a farm person, ag person, a producer, or just a good old Wisconsinite or a Packer fan. Pam Jahnke, welcome to Civic Media.
My pleasure, my pleasure. Yeah, lifelong Wisconsinite. I grew up on a small dairy farm in northeast Wisconsin, O'Connell County. Stop and think about the work being done 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, to make sure that you and I are the best fed in the world.
Join the fabulous farm babe, Pam Jahnke, on Oshkosh Air Support, WISS, 1100 AM, 98.3 FM in Oshkosh.
Your Midwest Farm Report, weekdays from 5 until 6 a.m. This is Oshkosh Air Support, WISS.
Welcome back. Mino the Mayor here at WGBW. Actually, it's not a bad morning. 32 in Green Bay, 32 in Appleton, 32 in Oshkosh across the board. Sidewalks are pretty slippery. I mean, they froze overnight like that, so you got to be careful in that.
Well, 32, though. It's going to melt.
Yeah, but I mean, once the sun comes out.
Right.
That's good.
I thought it was great when we walked outside this morning. I was like, wow. And my dog was digging it. So,
Today is National Save the Eagles Day. Last week, 2 weeks ago, whenever, I was driving to Manitowoc on the back road. I love taking that back road through, like, Ledgeview, that area past the golf course, Ledgeview Golf Course. Is that? No, I don't think it's 96, is it? But you go through Menchelville, which was one of, like, my favorite little towns.
Yeah, I think that.
I don't know what highway that. But I love that, going through the country instead of taking the 43 type thing. I've never seen this before. I know everybody's seen bald eagles nowadays. But two of them in this field, and one was pretty close to the road, and he took off. They must have had something dead or something in the field. And this one took off. It's amazing how big a bald eagle is.
Yeah.
When you see him up close, oh my God, that wingspan had to be 7 feet. It was incredible. Wow. But I'd never seen a bald eagle up that close. And that was cool. I mean, that's when I was a kid, it's like there are no bald eagles in the world anymore. We've killed them all from pollution.
Do we really need a National Save the Eagle?
Yeah, we do, because I'm a big fan of eagles.
Well, so is everybody else. Isn't it against the law?
I love eagles and I love hawks.
But isn't that protected?
And owls. I like those kind of birds. I like predator birds.
The eagles, you can't shoot an eagle.
No.
That's what
you can't even have an eagle feather. Right. If you have an eagle feather, Native Americans are allowed to have them.
That's kind of
what I'm saying. It is against the law. Does anybody know what's the penalty? And like, let's say you're driving in your car and you got pulled over. And, like, I'll be honest with you, in my day, you'd always have the heads, we used to call them. What'd you guys call them?
The what?
The guys with smoke pot. We call them heads.
Stoners.
Stoners. Todd, what'd you guys call them?
Stoners.
Stoners, okay. Yeah. Stoners. They'd all have their van. They all want to be, like, you know, my Chevy van, you know, yada, yada. And potheads. They'd all have, potheads.
Yeah.
But a lot of times, they would have their roach clips.
Mm-hmm.
Hanging from the mirror.
Right.
With, like, feathers. And I was reading a thing about a guy who got pulled over and, you know, it was drug paraphernalia type thing, but it was an eagle feather and he got arrested for that. You can get, do we have any police officers out there? Craig, are you listening or anybody, any police officers listening? If you found an eagle feather in a person's car, can you arrest them in the state of Wisconsin? I think, yeah. And it's a really hefty fine. For an eagle feather.
So, I just want to get back to my point, which is isn't every day National Save the Eagle Day?
Well, I mean, what's wrong with that?
It's just to raise awareness it does.
You
right?
have National Mayor's Day.
No, I wish.
But,
bet there is.
Oh, there is too.
There
is.
Look it up.
There's National Mayor's Day.
We didn't celebrate it for 16 years.
You guys have never faced extinction, which is maybe not a bad idea. But I you know what? If there was a bald eagle sitting there and a mare sitting there and you had to dive on a grenade for one of them, I think I'd save the eagle.
I think 99% of the people would.
So do I.
April 9th is the day to celebrate mayors.
Yeah, there you go.
We did not do that.
You did too.
We did not.
You held a parade.
I had
for
parade.
Yourself
on a llama.
On a llama, you rode the
December.
Llama.
No, look, you guys, I was there. I don't.
You,
okay. All right. So anyway, that's great that we have a National Save the Eagle Day, but it almost sounds like so it's an awareness campaign.
They were
that's
basically
all these are.
Extinct.
All right.
Exactly awareness. Yeah. Thank you, yep. Todd.
Okay.
Thank God we got Todd here as the voice of reason.
All right. Now, though, this next one I participated in
National Take the Stairs Day.
All right. We at City Hall, obviously it's six floors, and then we have the basement, so seven floors. And we would run the steps.
The steps.
run the steps.
Run,
yeah,
not walk,
down,
walk,
down, run, up, run. Run okay. Yeah, I guess it wasn't. It was take the stairs. We would run the steps. And if you did it 11 times, it was the same as walking up to the Statue of Liberty. So you try to do it 11 times. That is hard. I just want to say that is really, really hard. And we had a guy, one of my chief of staffs, who got totally into it. I went in there on a Saturday one time. He was running the steps with weights on his back.
Like, that's a lot.
What are you doing?
I will say this. If you go right next door here to see Dick Landy, mm-hmm. and you walk up those five flights.
Yeah.
But right? That top one, you're.
No doubt.
That, I will say that. Stairs are a biatch.
I'll be honest, just at home, going from like the first floor to second floor. I'm like.
You get winded. Right? I know. Yeah. I will give you that one.
So out of shape.
I will absolutely give you that one. Even at the high school football games some nights when I'm going up and it's like,
I know.
I'll stop and talk to somebody. Somebody will be like, hey, Mino. And it's like, I'll just stop and say hello to be friendly.
Right.
And catch my breath.
I'm
with you. Stairs are something special.
They are. But they're good for you.
And that's all you really, you know, when you think about it, you can get $1,000 worth of workout equipment or just walk take steps.
All right, so that's today.
Rod Stewart, happy birthday. I've always been a big Rod Stewart fan.
Love him.
First song I ever made out to was Maggie May. It was the back of a pickup truck.
Okay, thanks.
I was just going to say,
let's move on.
I don't know if I ever really want to hear that song again.
No. Uh-uh.
Because it's just going to bring to mind you and some girl,
yeah,
you know.
No. Rod Stewart, though. Did you see him?
And you know what I remember? I had a runny nose.
Okay, I'm going to ask her.
You've got the best memory, man.
Yeah. We went to a basketball game. I was a freshman in high school.
Yeah.
And we were going to a basketball game.
John, I think that's enough. It's 6:26. Okay. All right.
Okay, I want to hear about this runny nose.
First date. And I had a little bit of a cold. Kind of like now, you know. And going with this other couple. And the guy had a pickup truck. And there's no room. It was just a cab. So we rode in the back. This is in January.
And the guy's driving?
Well, the guy's and his girlfriend driving. And we're in the back, me and this girl. And who goes on dates in the back of a pickup truck anymore?
Yeah, like nobody.
Yeah.
Even back then.
And we go to do it a little bit, and I still remember, I don't know what gross anybody out, but I kind of just, it was awkward, and I know my nose rubbed against her cheek, and I'm thinking, I wonder if I need to wipe that off.
Jeez. Oh, God. Whatever. Okay.
So whenever you hear Maggie May, think of me in the back of a pickup truck.
I used to like Rod Stewart.
I love Rod Stewart. Yeah.
All right.
Happy birthday to another woman I used to have a huge crush on, Pat Benatar. When music videos first came out, she was like a goddess in the music videos. Remember that, Todd?
Absolutely.
I mean, Hit Me With Your Best Shot. Mm. And what was the one where she played the part of like a fighter pilot? Bakers in the night.
Shadows
of the night. Yes. Yep. Very good. Love Pat Benatar. George Foreman, 75 years old. You don't hear much about him anymore.
Oh, but
it almost seems like
he
made billions.
He did up that.
Why didn't you come out with the Mayor's Grill or something? The George Foreman Grill?
Yeah, he made a fortune off that.
Yeah.
And yeah, that was a good deal for him.
Mary Ingalls, born in this state, 1865 in Pepin, Wisconsin. Where's Pepin?
Pepin is on the west part of the state.
Okay.
It's like over pretty close to Minnesota.
Okay.
But yeah, Pepin is a... I think that's Pepin, right? Is that
down? I think so. I'll double
check. I think
check.
It's out there. I think that's where Pepin is.
Okay.
Okay, so she was born in
1865.
Okay. Wow. Okay.
Very good. All right, Todd, you had something you wanted to read?
Well, Big Wayne had just texted in a little bit earlier about a problem that he had at the airport as well. He said that Milwaukee Airport scanned his carry-on for explosives. It tested positive, and they had to throw him in a room against a wall with his hands up.
So, really?
Yeah.
What was it from?
He says, I told them KI was just in the MGL warehouse. I don't know what exactly that means, but.
Oh, MGL is where he used to work.
Ah, gotcha.
That's the place right over here. You know, that's Aaron's husband's place, MGL, Big Mike.
What does KI have to do?
I have no. What is it again? KI.
Not
it just says, I told them KI was just in the MGL warehouse.
I don't know what that means.
Maybe he meant maybe I was just in the MGL warehouse.
Why would they have explosives in the MGL fitness warehouse?
I don't know.
Come on, Wayne. Pick up the phone.
Yeah, Wayne,
are you going to wake up the bees?
Yeah, just call us.
You're going to annoy the bees? Come on.
Oh, my God, Todd. Why did you do this to us? That poor girl.
Still one of my all-time favorite songs.
And she's right now thinking.
She's thinking like, why am I glad that's over?
Yeah. Yeah. I will say this, though. That may have...
Did you sing to girls?
Maybe.
Aww.
That may have ended her like of boys. I will say that.
She's
back after this.
You're listening to Oshkosh Air Support, WISS.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. With the Iowa caucuses just a few days away, it's crunch time for Republican presidential hopefuls, even with the nasty weather the state's expecting on Monday. Chad Hahn is with the National Weather Service in Des Moines.
The coldest date of the caucus in history was 16 degrees for a high temperature, and this will definitely be the coldest day concurrent of the Iowa caucus that we've seen dating back to 1972.
The New Hampshire primary is January 23rd. A new CNN poll out this morning showing Nikki Haley now just 7 points behind former President Donald Trump, who holds a commanding lead in Iowa. Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin, we now know, diagnosed with prostate cancer, his hospitalization linked to complications from surgery because of it. Boeing CEO Dave Calhoun telling employees that the Alaska Airlines door plug emergency was a mistake and that they will continue working with the NTSB on the investigation into it. This is ABC News.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wiggehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. New technology developed in Wisconsin could help doctors detect developmental disorders before a baby is born. The University of Wisconsin in Madison says it's currently focused on autism, ADHD, and other disorders that aren't usually diagnosed until later. Republicans say they'll shut down the federal government if they don't get a deal to shut down the border. Congressman Brian Steil on WISN-TV's Up Front.
We're fighting about whether or not we should be mopping up the mess on the floor. I say, turn the spigot off, and you turn the spigot off by actually ending the illegal immigration in the United States and securing the border.
Democrats note that lawmakers have passed on several opportunities to update immigration laws, but haven't. I'm Nate Wiggehout, Civic Media News.
America is kept safe because the Army National Guard responds, protects, and supports our nation when it needs them most. The Army National Guard responds to disasters such as wildfires and floods. They protect us with missile defense, cybersecurity, and civilian support teams for chemical, biological, and radiological hazards. Be there for your community and your country. Visit NationalGuard.com to learn more about part-time service. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
We have a winter storm warning that remains in effect today through tonight. We're expecting around 5 to 8 inches of snow, but making things worse, the wind. It'll pick up later today into tonight with gusts from 35 to 45, creating blowing snow, making travel difficult, if not impossible. Conditions will gradually improve tomorrow morning. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 31.
America is kept safe because the Army National Guard responds, protects, and supports our nation when it needs them most. The Army National Guard responds to disasters such as wildfires and floods. They protect us with missile defense, cybersecurity, and civilian support teams for chemical, biological, and radiological hazards. Be there for your community and your country. Visit NationalGuard.com to learn more about part-time service. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
Oshkosh Air Support, WISS.
Even when the weather outside is frightful, your energy bill could be much more delightful. Replacing drafty windows and doors can dramatically lower your energy costs. Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin's energy-efficient windows keep the cold outside where it belongs. You'll help kick the January blues when you choose to book by the 31st for 0% interest up to 36 months. You heard that right. No interest for up to 36 months if you book by January 31st. Visit PellaWI.com.
Certain restrictions apply. America is kept safe because the Army National Guard responds, protects, and supports our nation when it needs them most. The Army National Guard responds to disasters such as wildfires and floods. They protect us with missile defense, cybersecurity, and civilian support teams for chemical, biological, and radiological hazards. Be there for your community and your country. Visit NationalGuard.com to learn more about part-time service. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
From the home of the largest fly-in in the world,
We are Oshkosh Air Support, 1100 AM and 98.3 FM, WISS.
The show or want to share it with a friend? Check out the Mino and the Mayor podcast at civicmedia.us and on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. Take Mino and the Mayor with you everywhere. Now, once again, Mino and the Mayor, John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Hey, welcome back. Mino the Mayor here on 97.9 FM, WGBW, 98.3 FM, WISS, and of course the Civic Media app. This segment brought to you by Midwest Restoration, family owned since 2008, commercial and residential restoration. If you've got a problem, you got a broken pipe, you got all sorts of things like water damage in your basement or mold, give these guys a call. They will answer their phones 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, and especially if you have any fire damage or anything like that, you can't believe what they'll do. We got to get these guys on one more time. Talk about some of the things they do. They take it more than one step beyond. They take it leaps and bounds beyond of what you would ever imagine. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, Midwest Restoration. All you have to do is give them a call, 920-MIDWEST, 920-MIDWEST, and these guys will be there. They are the absolute best and great sponsors of the Mind When the Mayor Show. Very honored to have a very special guest on right now this week. Of course, unbelievably huge in Titletown here, Green Bay, Wisconsin. Matt LaFleur doing such a great job. So excited the other day. Want to talk to a gentleman that hired Matt LaFleur, a great friend of mine, the pride of Ishpeming Hematite Land. Ladies and gentlemen, the legendary Bernie Anderson.
Good morning, Good morning, Coach.
Bernie, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm great. Hey, did you get out to Houston for the Michigan game?
We did get out there. We got out to Indianapolis for the Big Ten Championship. We went from there down to the Rose Bowl, which was spectacular, and left the Rose Bowl and went over to Texas for the National Championship game. So wow. It was a lot of travel, but a lot of fun. Great games.
Now, your son works for the team. Is that right?
Yes, he does. He's the head equipment manager. He's been in equipment now with Harbaugh in Michigan for 9 years.
Wow. What an experience that has to be.
Well, it's good for me because he's my size and I get a lot of Michigan gear.
You know, I didn't want to say anything, Bernie, but I was going to say, you know how when you used to have to turn in equipment in Nagani and Ishpeming, and when the coach or somebody wasn't looking, maybe you'd reach into the thing and take a jersey or something like that. Remember those days?
Yes, it's been a while, but yes, it's very true.
Actually, you'd get a kick of this. I remember sitting at the Nagani A&W root beer stand, okay? In the summer, early summer, and, you know, trying to make some moves on the girls that, you know, worked at the root beer stand. You remember those days,
sure,
right?
Absolutely.
And they used to throw those little orange culottes. Remember that?
Yep.
Yeah. And I'm sitting there with DeLangelo and Robbie Jandrin and some of the guys and Stagliano, and who goes by but Coach Koski. All of a sudden, I hear brakes go on real hard. The yellow car spins around, does a U-turn on US 41, comes storming 40 miles an hour into the parking lot of the NW because I was wearing the jersey I had taken. Mino! I had to take that jersey off right then and there in front of everybody and hand it to him, and he squealed out and took off. That was Dick Koski.
That's Dick Koski, and that's the old days.
That's the old days. Well, Bernie, a little bit about your background, of course. You've been a head your football coach for years and years and years, head coach, of course, at Michigan Tech and at Northern Michigan. Tell me the history of you and Matt LaFleur.
It's interesting because here he is, the head coach of the Green Bay Packers. It's one of the top positions in all of NFL football and the historical team and everything. It goes back to 2004, 2005. I left Michigan Tech, went to Northern Michigan, and hired a new staff there. Matt played at Western Michigan, transferred to Saginaw Valley, and that's where he played his 4 years of college football. And of course, when I was at Tech and Northern, we played Saginaw Valley, so I coached against him as a player.
That's exactly what I was going to ask. What kind of a player was he? Because he's not very big. How big is he? 5'10", maybe?
He's 5'10", but he was an athlete. He's a very good athlete. He's very competitive, and he knew the game. He was a very, very good quarterback, and Saginaw Valley had some very good years. They did go to the national playoffs. I can't recall being some years ago now how they did in the national playoffs with Matt as a quarterback, but I know He did quarterback Saginaw Valley for a number of years. They did make the national playoffs, and he is a very good athlete himself.
I could see him as being a very feisty type.
Yes, he's definitely, you can see his personality on the sidelines at times, and he was that as an athlete.
So then how did you hire him as a coach? What stood out for you to hire him? Was he quarterback's coach?
Well, I knew his dad through the recruiting process because his father coached at Central Michigan. And Matt went from Saginaw Valley to Central Michigan as a graduate assistant coach. So he had 1 year of college coaching as a graduate coach at Central Michigan when I went to Northern Michigan and needed the quarterback coach. And knowing his father, knowing him, having played against him and everything, he was interested. He come up. We had a nice talk. We covered some football. He's very knowledgeable after playing the position and being a coach's son his entire life. It was kind of a no-brainer for us, and he did a great job. It was obviously he did a great job. He's done a great job everywhere he's been.
When you took him for an interview, did you take him to the Congress?
No, we didn't. Okay. We should have maybe, would have maybe kept them a little longer that way.
Congress pizza was legendary up
oh,
there.
Oh, all right.
Yeah. Yes, and it still is for anybody that had it.
Yeah. That and A&W. All right. Back then. So, Coach, you said a couple times how he knows the game and you know, really understood the game. The Packers, when they interviewed him, only interviewed him once. They hired him after the initial interview, which – normally, it's two or three interviews,
right.
And it's a team. And
it's a process.
It's a process. And, yeah. And sure. Were you...
like blown away?
Right. That's yeah. What I'm saying. Were you wooed by the guy? Or I mean, I was just really surprised because that was a time when there were a few people on the docket out there.
Absolutely.
And LaFleur came in and they hired him, I think, that night. And I'm thinking it's because he knows the game. But I'd like to hear your perspective on that.
Yeah, good point.
Well, for me, I was able to follow Coach LaFleur through his career after he left at Northern Michigan. And I knew he had interviewed for the head job at Tennessee prior to the Green Bay interview. And after following him, it was a surprise a little bit that he moved up the ladder and the coordinators and moved from one program to another program. And if you follow the tracks of most of these head coaches, they've been at 10, 12, 15 different schools, places, programs. And so I knew he had been considered for a head job at Tennessee and maybe some other programs. But when Green Bay interviewed him, I thought right away that he was a perfect fit because of the culture of Green Bay and his culture and the fit of what Green Bay expects out of their head coaches. And he just, you know, for me, with some experience with him, I just thought it was a perfect fit out of right away. And when he was announced as the new head coach of the Green Bay Packers, it wasn't a surprise for me. It was only a little bit of a surprise from the standpoint that, wow, here's the guy I hired. Here it is 10 years later. I'm done, and he's the head coach of the Packers.
Did he get a pay raise from when he worked for you to going with the Packers?
You know, we paid him really well. Uh-huh. So I think he did get a little increase.
Okay.
A little
what do you think you paid him in those days, Bernie?
I think we probably brought him in around 2005, somewhere around 40, okay. 40 to 50,000.
Okay.
He gets about five times that in one paycheck.
He does. He really does. And worth it. See, we're talking with Bernie Anderson, who really got it's more than a relationship with
kind of really helped get it started.
Right.
I mean, really.
I mean,
for his career
with Matt LaFleur. And do you, are you in contact with him at all or with his dad?
Yeah, both. He lives two blocks away. His boys, young boys,
right.
10, 11, 12, one a little younger, play basketball and football and all his sports together. And my daughter, who lives two blocks away, and his children, they're best friends. So we're in pretty close contact with more through the grandchildren than mm-hmm. through our relationship over the years. And he obviously is so busy and not around much, but we know his children and we know his wife a whole lot better than we know him as far as seeing him in contact with him. But yes, we've been able to talk on a regular basis.
You surprised at all, Bernie, at the success he's had?
You know, you watch the NFL and it's hard for anybody that has great success. You can pick a 2, 3, 4 names of coaches that have had great success over the years and everything. I'm still in awe a little bit that here's Matt LaFleur, a coach that I worked with, and he's the head coach of the Green Bay Packers, and they have been so successful. No, it doesn't surprise me because he has all the characteristics that you know, as a coach, we know sometimes, and we are who we are, and we do what we, but some people just have a natural intelligence, a natural character, cultural background that just fit a situation, and he's a perfect fit. He's just, you know, you don't make it to the head coach of the NFL in the NFL if you don't have the intelligence and all the background and all the decision-making abilities. And no, I'm not surprised he's been very successful.
We're talking with Bernie Anderson, former head coach at Northern Michigan University, Michigan Tech University, and one of the first men to really give Matt LaFleur a big start in his coaching profession.
You know, Coach, they talk about coaches today is a little bit different than coaches, 20, 25 years ago. Yeah. In terms of, you know, like Holmgren.
Yeah.
Who? Bill Belichick.
Wait, Coach who?
Yeah.
Holmgren?
Yes.
Holmgren.
How they can be a little bit, you know, was Matt always kind of, I'm not saying he's a player's coach, but he seems to have a lot of respect from the players and the fans. And you talk about this knowledge of the game, and I'll give you that. But did you see that back then, that he just had this ability to work as a leader?
Yes, right from the beginning, because he come in, I'm not going to say arrogant, but he come in confident with his ability and his knowledge. He was able to jump in as a 24, 25-year-old coach and take control of his players, his position in staff meetings. He would not be afraid to give his opinion and speak up. And you know, again, I think being a son of a coach at the college level and playing, he had enough background. He had enough intelligence. He played the position. And he was confident in himself, but at the same time, I think his people skills, his ability to communicate, his ability mm-hmm. to control and dictate the situation without offending or drawing people in, he has that charisma, if you will, to get people to play for him, and that's a critical part to this day and age. The coaches change from 25 years ago to now, yes. But at the same time, you have to have the ability to get the respect of your players, your team, the people that work for you, with you, and still be able to dictate and take control and make changes when necessary. And he has, and he displays all that. Even in today's most recent times, you know, he looks at the defense, and if there's change that needs to be done, he understands he's responsible for it. And he has made the changes and makes decisions. But at the same time, you know, I think the media and others were on him about the defense and defensive coaches, and he was asked point blank about the defensive coordinator, and his response is quick and accurate, and this is not the time.
Right.
And then, you know, he goes from there. So, you know, it's not easy. It's very difficult, especially in the NFL, stands for not for long. So if you don't do well, you're not there for very long. But he's just a natural. He has all the characteristics that it takes to be successful. So his success doesn't surprise me a bit, and he's going to continue to be successful.
Hey, Bernie, we're going to be sending to a break here in a minute. Will you be able to stick around for another few minutes? This is really fascinating. This is great stuff.
Great. Yes, I can.
Right, thanks, I want another thing I want to talk about, though, too, Bernie, a little bit aside from Coach LaFleur, but part of it is that conference. It's mind-boggling how many people have gone on to really big-time jobs coaching in that conference that you guys were in, isn't it?
Right. There's Brian Kelly and a number of others, yes.
It's unbelievable. That is the most underrated conference in all of college football. That's no kidding. The people that have come out of that conference, both as players, because you think of it as more smaller college football, but it's incredible.
Bernie, did he have the same eyebrows?
Who?
LaFleur, back when he was coaching with him.
You've got the biggest eyebrows in American history. Who are you to talk about somebody else's eyebrows? Bernie Anderson from NMU and Michigan Tech joining us to talk about Coach LaFleur and a whole bunch of other things. Back with more right after this.
This is Oshkosh Air Support, WISS.
Tune into The Empowered Caregiver with me, Liza Hellenbrand, every Wednesday evening at 7.
On Oshkosh Air Support 98.3 FM and 1100 AM WISS.
America is kept safe because the Army National Guard responds, protects, and supports our nation when it needs them most. The Army National Guard responds to disasters such as wildfires and floods. They protect us with missile defense, cybersecurity, and civilian support teams for chemical, biological, and radiological hazards. Be there for your community and your country. Visit NationalGuard.com to learn more about part-time service. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
You're listening to Oshkosh Air Support, WISS.
Hey, welcome back. My Northern Mayor here, 97.9 FM WGBW, having a fascinating conversation with Bernie Anderson, former head coach at Northern Michigan University, Michigan Tech, one of the first people to recognize the coaching prowess of Coach Matt LaFleur, brought him into Marquette, the NMU family with the Wildcats. But Bernie, we're talking a little bit about the other coaches from that conference. What about the head coach of the New York Jets, Robert Saleh?
Well, there's another one. You can go as far back as Steve Mariucci.
Yeah,
played at Northern Michigan as a player, and then you go right up the list from there, and there's a remarkable number of players and coaches that have come through that area, that conference. It was called a Great Lakes Intercollegiate Conference, the GLIAC back then, Mid-American Conference for a while, and I think it's back even to the Great Lakes again.
Did you coach with Saleh, or I mean, did Saleh coach, excuse me, did you coach against Saleh, is what I'm trying to say? When he was
I don't know. He was a little bit after me.
Okay.
I'm getting a little bit on an old side for him.
Okay. But I'll tell you what, like we're talking about these great players that came through Northern Michigan and Michigan Tech and that conference and everything like that. But what are some of the attributes sometimes that it takes? Because I got to be honest with you. I mean, we're from up there. And I used to work in Flint, Michigan, and I covered Saginaw Valley and Central Michigan and all those places. And, you know, there's a lot of great athletes down there. And it takes somebody special to move to the UP with the winters and recruiting kids that far and everything. And I know Northern's fallen on some really hard times football-wise. Tech continues to roll pretty good. But what does it take for a person? Is there a special ingredient to go up to Northern Michigan or Michigan Tech and say, this is where I want to plant my stakes and be a football coach or a football player?
Well, I think the number one thing I would speculate to say would be the work ethic. It's just a work ethic. And, I think you look at anybody from engineering to coaching to multiple jobs that come from that area. And you go to people that have worked now in, say, California, the southern part of the country somewhere, and have wind up having great, great success. And you say, well, God, they're from Nagani or Ishpeming or Marquette or Iron Mountain, all the small little cities up in upper Michigan where there's a lot of heavy snow, and as they're getting today again. But I think a work ethic. It's just a work ethic where people go up there and, you know, you stay indoors, stay warm, and work.
Yeah.
And, That's a key ingredient in great work ethic. And you look at Coach LaFleur, great work ethic. And anybody in the NFL are working 20 hours a day, it seems, 7 days a week, 10 months a year,
right,
or more. So work ethic, I think, would be the number one.
Bernie, I was thinking about that this morning. And that's no kidding. With the snowplows going on, and we're talking about how cold it's going to be here. And thinking about my dad and my brothers and my uncles and everybody that would get up at, 5 in the morning, go shovel up their cars, drive to work at the mine, go work out in the pits at the mine or underground, yep, or something on these kind of days. It's like, oh, I got to get up and come down 4 flights of stairs to my studio. Life is so hard versus what those guys up there all grew up with, huh, Bernie?
It's a unique place to be, but some great people and some successful people coming from out of that area.
But maybe, Bernie, I mean, truth be told, maybe they knew that was one of their stops on their 17 stops to become a head coach. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know if people go up there, Johnny.
This or they're going to be there for their life.
Right.
Right.
That they know that
this is... But it's a great place to advance,
learn,
to keep going. Yeah.
To advance, to say, look, I'm willing to do anything. Yeah. Not that it's difficult up there, but look, I don't have
to
go.
Oh, it is.
I don't have to go to Jacksonville. I will go to Nugani, and I will put my time in because I will do anything to be able to coach an NFL team here.
Yeah, but I
and
will it, say this. Northern has phenomenal facilities, huh, Bernie?
Yeah, they really do. They have the dome up there, and then they have a history, a historical program, and with some of the names that have come out of there, it's drawn other names into there. And, yes, there's a history up there that has produced some pretty special coaches and people.
Coach, I got to ask you, we have some young listeners because I teach at our local college here, and I know these kids listen, and many, many people want to be – would love, like you say, there's only 32 teams, and that's probably the premier job coaching. Advice for somebody who's high school, college kid, get into coaching, get into the NFL. Any advice for them? I mean, you've seen a lot of very successful people come through your division.
Well, the number one thing I think, again, would be networking people, staying in contact with people that you work with and have had some experience with, and to build that network. And it's so much easier today because you have the technology to send a text message, send an email, make a call. But the networking, you look at some of the people, you look at Coach LaFleur, look who he's coached with. You look at, he's probably been on a staff with 6 or 8 different head coaches in the NFL, and he's maintained those contacts. And it's kind of a culture of people that stay together but that's probably a work ethic and all the other characteristics, right, whether it's coaching or any other career you need to have. But in coaching, and like many professions, I guess, it's networking and staying in contact with the people that you've been in contact, being loyal to your coworkers and so on. And that's where I think people climb the ladder, and you move from place to place to place because you know people all over the map.
That's great advice.
Bernie, a couple of quick things here. Did you ever, you and your wife, ever have Coach LaFleur over for homemade pasties, and or did you ever take him to Tino's for a cootie?
You know, I think we've cooked a pasty pie and brought it to them about 2 years ago.
Okay.
But we haven't had him over the house for a pasty, but I know he has had pasty pie. Okay. I don't believe he's had the worldwide famous UP Kudigi.
Okay.
Hasn't been to the Congress, to my knowledge. Well, I think back in the northern days, yes. I would bet that he had been to the Congress. And so he's had the two specialties, Kudigi and Pasty.
Fantastic. Two of the great food groups. Hey, Bernie, I have to ask you one last quick question. Jim Harbaugh. I'm just going to throw that out there. Jim Harbaugh.
Yes. It'll be interesting in the next day or two. I coached for his father. That was my start. And we just talked about connections and networking. Go back to 1982. Now, that's starting to date a few things. But anyways, I coached for Jim Harbaugh at Western Michigan. And then through some of the connections, wound up getting back in the homeland of the UP up at Michigan Tech and so on. And now when Jim Harbaugh 9 years ago went to Michigan, and my son did an internship with Tampa Bay Buccaneers, then got out of the equipment business, wanted to get back in, and that was his tie to get back in. I had known Jack Harbaugh as my head coach, and then Jim, his son, and John, his brother, and his sister, Joni, Jim, Jack, Johnny, Joni. And through that connection, we were able to get Brad tied in with Michigan, and now 9 years later, they're national champs, and he's part of the program.
Phenomenal. Bernie Anderson, man, you've come a long way from the Hematite days. So proud of you. Followed your career for so many years. And this has been just great. Can't appreciate you taking the time to come on with us, buddy.
Well, John, it's been a pleasure for me. I've been done and retired now and a no name down here in the Green Bay area. And my claim to fame is hiring Matt LaFleur.
It wasn't playing.
Other than that, nobody would know who I am or what I look like or anything else.
It wasn't playing against John Minor, huh?
And once again played against John Miner and Johnny Miners with special uniforms that were that every.
Broadcasting from the Civic Media Studios on South Main Street.
This is Oshkosh Air Support, 1100 AM and 98.3 FM WISS.
Did you know this local radio station is part of Civic Media? Learn more about the entire network at civicmedia.us.
America is kept safe because the Army National Guard responds, protects, and supports our nation when it needs them most. The Army National Guard responds to disasters such as wildfires and floods. They protect us with missile defense, cybersecurity, and civilian support teams for chemical, biological, and radiological hazards. Be there for your community and your country. Visit NationalGuard.com to learn more about part-time service. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
You're listening to Oshkosh Air Support. WISS 1100 AM Berlin. W252 DR Oshkosh.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.